რადიო თავისუფლება FM 107.4.
საქართველოში 19 საათია. მოისმინეთ ახალი ამბების გამოშვება. თავარი ახალი ამბები მოკლედ. რუსი ოპოზიციონერი ილია იაშინი ჩეჩნეთის ლიდერს ადანაშაულებს ნემცოვის მკვლელობასთან კავშირში. ტრიბულის მაღაროების მუშები მიერთეთხია გაფიცვას აგრძელებენ. სერბიის პრემიერ-მინისტრის აზრით, ევროკავშირმა ნაწილობრივ დაკარგა თავისი მიმსითველობა ბალკანეთის ქვეყნებისთვის. ახლა ეს და სხვა ახალი ამბები უფრო ვრცლად. რუსმა ოპოზიციონერმა ილია იაშინმა მოსკოვში წარმოადგინა ანგარიში მუქარა ეროვნულ უსაფრთხოებას, რომელიც ეხება ჩეჩნეთის ლიდერის რამზან კადიროვის საქმიანობას. პრესკონფერენცია რამდენჯერმე შეწყდა ბომბით მუქარის და ხმაურიანი შეძახილების გამო. იაშინმა ტერაქტი უწოდა ოპოზიციონერი პოლიტიკოსის ბორის ნემცოვის მკვლელობას და კადიროვი დაადანაშაულა ამ მკვლელობასთან კავშირში. მას დაუყენა სხვა ბრალდებებიც, მათ შორის ბრალდება, რომ აღმოსავლეთ უკრაინაში აგზავნის ჩეჩენ მოხალისეებს. იაშინი დოკუმენტის მთავარ ამოცანად ასახელებს საზოგადოების ყურადღების მიპყრობას და კადიროვის გადაყენების მიღწევას.
Минда აღნიშნო, რომ ჩეჩნეთი იქცა ცალკე სახელმწიფოდ რუსეთის ფედერაციაში. Минда აღნიშნო, რომ კადიროვი ფაქტობრივად არ ცნობს ფედერალურ კანონებს. Минда აღნიშნო, რომ კადიროვი ფაქტობრივად უგულებელ ყოფს რუსეთის კონსტიტუციას. სწორედ ეს არის ჩრდილოეთ კავკასიაში პუტინის პოლიტიკის მთავარი
შედეგი.
განაცხადა იაშინმა. მან აღნიშნა ასევე, რომ მოხსენებას აქვეყნებს საბჭოთა პერიოდში 1954 წელს ჩეჩნების დეპორტაციის მორიგ წლისთავთან დაკავშირებით ჩეჩენი ხალხისადმი სოლიდარობის ნიშნად. ადამიანის უფლებათა ევროპული სასამართლოს ვერდიქტით რუსეთმა დაარღვია ოპოზიციის ლიდერის ალექსეი ნავალნის სამართლიანი სასამართლოს უფლება, რის გამოც მას უნდა გადაუხადოს 56,000 ევრო, ანუ 61,700 დოლარი ხარჯებისა და ზარალის დასაფარად. ნავალნი, რომელიც პრეზიდენტ ვლადიმერ პუტინის ერთ-ერთი მთავარი ოპონენტია, 2013 წელს გაასამართლეს თახლითობის ბრალდებით. საქართველოში ტყიბულის მაღაროების მუშები მიათეთხია გაფიცვას აგრძელებენ. გაფიცულებმა საპროტესტო აქციით გადაინაცვლეს მუნიციპალიტეტის გამგეობის შენობასთან. ისინი ხელფასის გაზდას და სამუშაო პირობების გაუმჯობესებას მოითხოვენ. საქართველოს პრეზიდენტის მრჩევლის კახა კოჟურიძისა და საპარლამენტო მდივნის გიორგი კვერენჩხილაძის აზრით, იუსტიციის უმახლესი საბჭო სასწრაფო და რადიკალურ რეფორმირებას საჭიროებს. ეს შეფასება მათ გამოთქვეს თბილისის საქალაქო სასამართლოს სამშლომარის თანამდებობიდან მამუკა ახვლედიანის გათავისუფლების შემდეგ. კოჟურიძე ამბობს, რომ საქართველოს კანონმდებლობა არ იცნობს სასამართლოს სამშლომარის იმ წესით გათავისუფლების საშუალებას, რა წესითაც საბჭო მოგზაურ თებერვალ სასამართლოს სამშლომარე დაითხოვა.
იუსტიციის უმაღლესი საბჭო სამწუხაროდ არ იცავს სტანდარტებს მოსამართლეთა შერჩევა დანიშნვის პროცესში, არ ღირს კანონს მოსამართლის სასამართლოს თავმჯდომარის გათავისუფლების პროცესში, არ სარგებლობს საზოგადოების ნდობით და ყველაზე უკეთ იმას, რომ ამ ორგანოს სჭირდება ძირეული რეფორმები, თავად საბჭოს გადაწყვეტილებები ადასტურებს.
განაცხადა საქართველოს პრეზიდენტის მრჩეველმა. გერმანიის საგარეო უწყების ხელმძღვანელმა ფრანკ ვალტერ შტაინმაიერმა დღეს კიევში განაცხადა, რომ უკრაინის მართულ კოალიციაში პოლიტიკურ პარტიებს შორის დავამ არ შეიძლება მთავრობას ხელი შეუშალოს მინსკის შეთანხმებით გათვალისწინებული რეფორმების განხორციელებაში. შტაინმაიერმა კიევში უკრაინისა და საფრანგეთის საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრებთან ერთად გამართულ პრესკონფერენციაზე თქვა, რომ ჯერ კიდევ გადასათქმელია მთავარი ნაბიჯები მინსკის შეთანხმების განხორციელების მიმართულებით. სერბიის პრემიერ-მინისტრის ალექსანდარ ვუჩიჩის აზრით, ევროკავშირმა მიგრანტთა კრიზისისა და ბლოკიდან ბრიტანეთის გასვლის საფრთხის გამო ნაწილობრივ დაკარგა თავისი მიმსითველობა ბალკანეთის ქვეყნებისთვის. ამ შინაარსის განცხადება ვუჩიჩმა ლონდონში ვიზიტის დროს გააკეთა. თუმცა, მისივე თქმით, სერბია მაინც იმედოვნებს, რომ გაწევრიანდება ევროკავშირში ამ საკითხზე შარშან დაწყებული მოლაპარაკებების შედეგად. ჩვენ ყველას გსურს ევროკავშირში შესვლა, მაგრამ ეს აღარ არის ის დიდი ოცნება წინათ რომ იყო, აღნიშნა ვუჩიჩმა ლონდონში. და ბოლოს, ჩრდილოეთ ერაყში მდებარე ქურთების ავტონომიური რეგიონის წარმომადგენლების განცხადებით, ერაყელი ქურთების სპეც დანიშნულების რაზმმა გაათავისუფლა შვედი მოზარდი გოგონა, რომელიც ექსტრემისტების გაერთიანება ისლამური სახელმწიფოს წევრებს ყავდა დატყვევებული. ეს იყო ახალი ამბების გამოშვება, ის მარიამ ჭეურელმა გაგაცნოთ. თქვენ უსმენთ რადიო თავისუფლებას.
It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi there. Welcome to our show, Border Crossings, on the air live from D.C. Studio 4. And away we go with requests and dedications. If you'd like to join us, call 202-619-2077, our studio lines. That's the same number you'll be using to call in to win the two CDs we're giving away. 202-619-2077 is the number. Give us a call. Let us know what we can play for you. Michelle Green called from Kuwait, and she wants this song from Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars, the award-winning Uptown Funk on Border Crossings.
This shit, that ice cold, Michelle fights for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot, call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot, make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band about that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey, 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 oh!
Stop. Wait a minute.
Fill my cup, put some liquor in it.
Take a sip, sign the check.
Julio, get the stretch.
Ride to Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we gon' show out. Smoother than a fresh drop. Skip it.
I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Trick, say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bought that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey, 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 oh!
Before we leave, let me tell y'all a little something. Uptown, funk you up. Uptown, funk you up. Uptown, funk you up. Uptown, funk you up. Come on, dance. Jump on it. If you sexed and flown it. If you freaked and own it. Don't brag about it. Come show me. Come on, dance. Jump on it. If you sexed and flown it.
Well, it's Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Come on. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey, 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 oh!
Hey, Border Crossings, Bruno Mars, Mark Ronson, and Uptown Funk, just when you thought it was safe to go in the studio, comes a plagiarism lawsuit against Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars for that song. When will it end? When will it end? Well, apparently there is a 70s group, a girls trio group called The Sequence, Angie B., Cheryl the Pearl Cook, and Gwendolyn Blondie Chisholm. A member of the Sugar Hill Records group, The Sequence, they are claiming Uptown Funk has stolen the lyrics and the rhythm of their 1979 hit, Funk You Up, which was the first rap song released by a female group ever. 1979. The Sequence. So, looks like we got, you know, apparently they want Mark Ronson, Bruno Mars to pay up or go to court. So here we go again. All right. Anyway, just thought I'd pass that along to you. Uptown Funk is the Grammy winner for Record of the Year. It is also nominated for some Brit Awards. It was named the UK's number one song from 2015. So there you have it. A song that spent many, many, many weeks at number one on the Billboard charts in the U.S. Michelle Green in Kuwait wanted me to play that Uptown Funk. I'm Larry London on Border Crossings. We are expecting a guest in our studios. We're going to do things a little differently today because our guest is kind of caught in the rain here in Washington, D.C., stuck in traffic in the rain, so he is running late. He's an American Idol winner from Season 9, Lead to Wise. He's coming in to perform and talk about the new album that he's got out, Oil and Water, and we'll cover a variety of subjects when Lee gets here. But I do want to keep my promise to give away both of our CDs, the Now 57 CD and the Now That's What I Call Rock CD. So rather than do it at the end of the show, I'm going to do it at the beginning of the show. Caller number three right now at 202-619-2077 wins both CDs. So caller three, we want you to call in right now. If you are the third caller right now, you win both CDs, the Now 57 and Now That's Rock CD, at 202-619-2077. And I know it's a little different than what you're used to, but call in right now. Caller 3 wins. While we go to the phones and find caller 3, here's a request from Jonas Ebashaw, and he's in Ethiopia. This is One Love, Bob Marley on Border Crossings.
Feel alright,
saying,
let's get together and feel alright.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Let them all pass all their dirty remarks.
One love.
There is one question I'd really love to ask.
One heart.
Is there a place for the hopeless sinners who has hurt all mankind? Just to save his own belief.
One love.
What about a one heart?
One heart.
What about a
little? Let's get together and feel alright.
As it was in the beginning.
One love.
So shall it be in the end.
One heart.
Alright.
Thanks and praise to the Lord.
And I will
feel
fight is holy, I'm a Gideon.
One love.
So when the man comes, there will be no doom.
One song.
Have pity on those whose chances grow thin. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Yeah, yeah.
One love.
What about the one
heart?
Border Crossing. It's Border Crossing with Larry London on VOA 1.
when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I pray for her even more than me. I pray for her even more than me. She loved. I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Crossings, Voice of America, and there it is, Luther Vandross, a request from Ria Lorvin, who's tuned in Kuwait, and that's Dance with My Father on Border Crossings. Congratulations to Alora in Ghana. Alora was our third caller. Yay! She won the Now 57 CD and the Now That's Rock CD we're giving away here on Border Crossings. So congratulations, Alora, and thanks for listening. Lee DeWise is in the house. He has arrived, and we will be talking with him about his new album, Oil and Water, in just a couple of minutes. Let's check out a tune from the album. It's Lee DeWise with Safe on Border Crossings.
I told you that I could sit still for a while, but now I shake my rattle just like a child. You tried to make me feel safe. We'll be right back.
This is Border Crossings. My name is Larry London, and so happy to have you here on the show today. We have with us in our studios an American idol, literally an American idol. Lee DeWise is on tour right now for his sixth album, Oil and Water, and Lee is here in D.C. Welcome to our studios.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's nice to see you in person. I've watched you on television from afar for years. Now, winning American Idol, I mean, that must have been you know, quite an experience for you back in 2010, I believe, it was season 9.
Yeah, 6 years ago. I mean, it was definitely life-changing. I mean, you know, you don't know how to prepare for it. You just go on and you try this thing, right, that I'm going to hope for the best. And but it all worked out, and, yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Now, you weren't new to music at that time. You'd been in the Lee DeWise band.
Yeah, I was playing music in Chicago for a while for years, actually, before that. So to go from that stage songwriter type scene to now this, right? It was much different for me, and it took a little adjusting at first, of course, obviously.
Was it always music for you? Is that kind of what you knew you wanted to do?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I remember the first time I listened to a record that I like really like, and I felt in that moment like, this is what I want to do. And it's funny, I could actually remember the day and everything, because my dad always listened to like James Taylor's and the Paul Simon's and the Cat Stevens, but I was listening to Tea for the Tillerman by Cat Stevens, right?
Right.
And I'm reading the lyrics on the back of the record, and as I'm reading it, I like dawned on me that like these are stories he's telling through music, and I just fell in love with it, and I'm like, this is what I'm gonna do. Like, I have to do this. And so I was like maybe 10 or 11. And so I jumped from instrument to instrument for years. I played the drums and piano, and then eventually I had my dad pull out his old guitar from the closet, and I was like, I want to learn, you know? And so he took me and got it really strong, and we brought it back home, and I just pulled out all these Beatles books and started learning chords and like how chords work together. And I just kind of taught myself, and yeah, but I've always had a love for music and singing and all those things.
You've got a couple, I think, couple of sisters and a brother at home.
Got two sisters and a brother. Yeah, they're all, some of them are scattered. My sister lives on the East Coast or West Coast, and my brother and my other sister live in the Midwest still. That's where my parents are. But yeah, so we're all spread out. But yeah, growing up with a younger brother and two older sisters was
interesting.
Yeah.
Now, they also into music too? I mean, you could have had a family band. The DeWise family.
I don't know about that. You know, my sister sang a little bit. My sister Sarah sang a little bit growing up. My brother Mike, you know, he plays a little guitar and stuff like that. But, you know, my mom's got a great voice. My mom always had a great voice. Even growing up, she always sang. She always had a really beautiful voice. But no one in my family's ever pursued it the way I have. I think it was one of those things. But see, for me, growing up, school and I, at a young age, well, you know, I'm a kid.
Oil and water.
I'm a kid, right. And so as I got older, I latched onto it. I latched onto it. And you grow up and all these things, but it really became like my outlet, you know, writing and singing and things, to the point where, you know, I have friends that didn't even know that I could sing or write songs or any of that stuff. And they're like, what? You know? And we'd be sitting around and I'd just start playing. They'd be like, I had no idea, you know? And eventually I just kind of made that jump and said, like, this is all right. This is what I am. This is what I do. And yeah, I wouldn't say I kept it a secret, but it was definitely like I didn't like performing in front of people. It was more for me to write and do that. And I was young. And then eventually I was convinced by my friends, like, you got to play live. And so I started like going to bookstores and all that stuff.
Now, the one thing I find very interesting about your background, about you as a person, is from what I read, whether it's true or not, is that, you know, in school, you kind of, you mixed it up a little. You got in a couple of fights. There was some.
I did when I was 17 years old. So.
And there you are listening to Cat Stevens.
13 years ago.
Then brawling.
Yeah, 13 years ago. I think if anyone looks at their themselves when they're 17, you know, anything can sound ridiculous if you talked about
right.
anybody's age at any point in their childhood. So, I mean, that's very, it's super, like, I mean, it's whatever.
Right. You still think of a tough guy as being a Simon and Garfunkel.
I'm not, but I'm not
Cat
a tough
Stevens
guy.
I'm not really
you're tough guy.
You're a soft guy.
I mean, sure. Sure. People can think that if they want. Go ahead. But no, I mean, you know, I always stuck up for the, for the little guy. So that's
good for you.
That's where all that came from. I always had a hard time, you know, people being picked on and stuff like that. I was always the one that would step in.
Good for
I had
you.
No problem saying like, hey, like, you know, and taking the defense of those types of people. And I've always been that way. And I think it's mainly honestly because I'm definitely one of those wear my emotions and heart on my sleeve kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes across in the music as well. And that's why with this album here, you know, I think honesty is the theme throughout. I mean, it's very honest. It's really about things in my life that I've experienced or seen and I just put it into music. There was no intent to write songs in this way or that way for any particular reason. It was like I just wanted to write music that I connected with fully and I felt that an audience could connect with. And so there it is.
Mm. Well, we're happy that Lee DeWise is in our studios 6 albums into this now. And,
yeah.
So if you wouldn't mind doing a song for us, we'd love to hear something.
So this is one of the songs off the new record, obviously. It's called Oil and Water, and it's really about struggling, the struggle between, you know, the things you find that you have to do and the things that you want to do. And here we go.
Kiss me goodnight, 'cause I'll be gone in the morning light. I just wanna tell you that I need you one more time. But every time the taxi comes, I second guess myself what my life's become. Gotta separate what I want.
Laparagops Radio Tavisupleba.
Ოთხაჩის სწავლა, რა თქმა უნდა, სასარგებლოა, ამიტომ რომ გამოდიხარ უბრალოდ შენი კომფორტის ზონიდან.
საინტერესოა რომ მაგალითად ბავარიის მფარველად ითვლება წმინდა გიორგი და ღვთისმშობელი. წილხედრობის მომენტი ამათაც აქვს.
როდესაც ენა იწევს შენს დამორჩილებას, ალბათ მერე გეხსნება ის სივრცე, რომელშიც მერე შეძლებ თარგმნასაც.
უსმინეთ ოქროპირუხაძის ყოველკვირეულ პროგრამას 5 შაბათობით 19 საათზე და განმეორებით შაბათობით 16 საათზე. ლაპარაკობს რადიო თავისუფლება.
Kiss me goodnight, 'cause I'll be gone in the morning light. I just wanna tell you that I need you one more time. But every time the sun goes down, well, I'll be holding, wrap my arms around you like oil and water, like oil and water. Don't forget, 'cause I don't have the heart to let my mind regret. Like oil and water, like oil and water. Won't you kiss me goodnight? Now to call in the morning light, I just wanna tell you that I need you one more time. So kiss me goodnight, and I'll be gone in the morning light. I just wanna tell you that I need you one more time. So let me one more time. So let
sounding great. All right. Lead Wise. You. I like that. That's the title track from the new album. Did you write all the songs on the new
album? I wrote every song on this album. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it was a different experience. I mean, I got my own studio now, right? Mm-hmm. So I have my own studio and I was just in there writing music and recording it as I go. And the beautiful thing about it is that, you know, when you have too many people involved, you know, the end result is, you know, it's a mixture of things. Mm-hmm. You know, someone said this, so this happened. Someone said this, so this happened. With this one, it was like, I put that whole album just on my shoulders and say, you know, these are my decisions and these, you know, all these things. So, I feel really good about it. I mean, and to see the reaction we've had so far on it, just, it's pretty amazing. I mean, every little bit of that song, it was me and my engineer in the studio, and every little piece of the songs I remember and know and hear, because I did all of them. I played all the instruments and I did, you know, there's a few other guys that played on there, Paul Cartwright, Jordan Katz, Marco Menigan, these guys on Stone particularly. There's a song, it's a much more orchestrated, song, and that was a really good time. But, overall, the album was like, I've said it before, but it's a very point and shoot. I mean, I go in, I have a song idea, and I sit down and I start, you know, okay, this is the song, okay, this is it, so let's record that, boom, lyrics, and I start writing, and then it just starts flowing, and then it's build, and so it was really a wild experience, yeah.
Were you a songwriter or a singer first? What came first for Lead Wise?
I did like writing poetry as a kid. Mm-hmm. I always loved it. Mm-hmm. Even if it was funny, it didn't matter. I just liked writing things that rhymed, poetry, and things that didn't rhyme, like just stories.
Right.
And then I never connected the two for whatever reason. I liked singing and I liked doing that. But like I said, you know, I started playing the drums first, then I went to the piano, and then I don't know, one day, I remember that I wrote my first song and I just, it was so nerve-wracking, but I also thought it was so good. I was like, this is the best song anyone's ever written. I was so young, but, you know, and now it's just funny. But yeah, I always loved, I mean, I guess if one came first, singing, I suppose, would have come first, because as a young kid, I mean, I remember my mom listening to, like, John Denver and, like, you know, all that, Paul Simon, all that stuff, and the Carpenters, Peter, Paul, and Mary, things like that, you know, as a kid. I mean, I grew up a Kingston Trio, like, I love that stuff. I mean, and that's kind of where my affinity for, like, folk and like, you know, that era of music came from, is, like, I was obsessed with it as a kid. I just couldn't listen to it enough. And so when I work on like an album like this one, you know, I think all those elements always kind of show through in anybody, like in anything, right? You are a product of your environment to an extent, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, musically, you know, there's certain things that I just loved about those records. And I think, again, it was the honesty and the I don't know. It's just, there's something very real about it. It meant something. When you hear it, these songs, you feel like the person singing it or that wrote it
right.
meant something, and it matters mm-hmm. for whatever reason. And for me, I wanted that feel on this record. I wanted to, you know, I wanted the songs to mean something more than just, this is a song.
You know, and
so I really wanted to, it was really the music, you know, helped build up the lyric. It was really, I was more focused on the lyric than I was mm-hmm. anything else from the beginning. And so I would use the music to build that up, kind of put the music, the lyrics on a musical pedestal, you know, like them be the forefront of the song. And that was kind of the goal.
Now, you've come a long way from your very first single, which was a U2 song, Beautiful Day.
Oh, God.
And then all of a sudden, the sound is very different
yeah,
today.
I have to say something about
okay,
that.
Okay, all right.
That song, if I could go back in time, I would never have had that be a first single for me, ever.
Really?
In a million years, no.
You were kind of told, is that?
100%.
Okay.
So, and I never talked about this before, but
sure.
I think...
Well, now, great. Let's tell the world.
Appropriate.
Just keep it between you and me.
No, it wasn't that I don't like the song. I band right. U2's awesome, like whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But as we all know, American Idol, they have their show is all, you know, every year someone gets a single and they sing the song.
Right.
I didn't. Why? I don't know. But I didn't, right?
Right.
So... instead of releasing my first single as a Lead Wise song, I had to do like a cover song as my first single, which I just hated so much, because who wants to do that, right?
Right.
So you go on a show, you win American Idol, you're like, all right, I'll put my music out there, cover song. Just, that's not, so when people have said, like, you know, your music style's changed from that time, it hasn't. Like, uh-huh. I made two albums before American
right,
Idol.
Right.
And if anyone went and listened to them and went back, you could hear, like, that I'm doing the same thing now, mm-hmm. just better. And there was that moment where I won American Idol, which, by the way, I will always love that. I mean, it's one of the best times of my life.
Sure.
Biggest thing ever, you know, amazing. And I'll always be appreciative of it. But coming off of the show isn't what, you know, it's not just, here's a song and now you're an artist, you know,
right, like, right, sure.
Or everyone loves you. It's not, that's not what it is. It's, you know, it's really, every little thing matters at that point when you're off of the show, what you do, how you do it. And for me, you know, having Beautiful Day as my single, it just, I didn't understand why. You know, and I'm
yes.
being honest.
No, I appreciate it.
I just, why? Like,
right.
How does that make sense?
Right.
Like, why?
Some producer, executive.
Yeah,
said,
just,
hey,
let's have him sing this song.
Right.
It's like, okay.
I like it. Let's have him do this one.
Right. And so, and who am I to say no, right? Because
right.
I'm not calling, I signed up for this.
Right.
So,
yes.
All right. So here I am. I'm going to do this song. And, you know, to be honest, in a really cool way, you know, the past few years, you know, have been really a path towards, I mean, the things I've done since then,
mm-hmm.
Have really helped demonstrate to people what it is that I really do as a songwriter, as a singer, you know, go from Beautiful Day, single after American Idol, flash forward to 2.5-3 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, I write an original song for The Walking Dead.
Right. Right.
So though, how do those connect? Well, you know, I went on American Idol because I wanted to be an artist. I wanted people to know who I was. I wanted to do this as a living. I wanted to be able to go around the country, play music, and write music, and inspire people, and do all those, and connect with people. And that's what American Idol allowed me to do. It allowed me to get in front of a lot of people and let them see me. But it really is on me, you know, to write good songs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my job, you know, and that's what I try to do. I am a singer-songwriter who won American Idol. I'm not an American Idol winner who became a singer-songwriter.
Right.
And that's very...
That's important.
That's very important.
Yes, of course.
And you know, I think that it's important to also understand that it's a really thin line to walk
mm-hmm.
between, you know, not sounding appreciative and also trying to, you know...
Be honest.
Be honest.
Sure.
And the truth of the matter is that American Idol is an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a family over there to me. And I you know, I'm all forever grateful to the people that watch the show, the fans, everything. But at the same time, I can't sit there and pretend that coming off of the show and doing a song like Beautiful Day
really?
was good. Like it
really?
Wasn't. Like it just wasn't, right?
Right.
So for me, at least personally, I mean, I'm sure the song sounds great,
right.
but that's not who I am as an
right.
artist, right? So for me, there was kind of this time period of like, what am I supposed to do now? Now I have to follow this up.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So this is what people think I'm going to do. Right? So the next few years was, you know, we put out Live It Up, which
mm-hmm.
was my record after. And that was, the making that record was an interesting experience. I was put with a lot of different writers and different things. And I always loved that record. You know, it's that one record after Idol that I, you know. And there's a couple songs in there that I really love. But it wasn't me doing what I know I can do. It wasn't me in the studio writing songs the way I write songs, how I write songs, and, you know. And so I got to follow that up with the last record, Frames. And I think Frames was much more, that was more of a, you know, it's that one's more stompy. It's more,
right.
you know, it's upbeat. But it was the first time I felt that I was really making the music that I was meant to
right.
make, right?
Let loose.
Yeah. And so having that bridge the gap between Live It Up and now this record,
mm-hmm.
that record needed to happen. So everything needed to happen in order for me to make this record. That's
right.
including Beautiful Day as a single and American Idol, everything. All of it mattered up until a point. So mm-hmm. I don't make this record if I don't do those things.
Right.
And I think that's also important because... you know, all these things matter collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so come to Oil and Water, for the first time I feel like I'm in the studio by myself, just me and my engineer, and I'm just writing from the heart. I'm writing from a very honest place, and it's just everything about this record encompasses what it is that I do and what I love about music. And it's really exciting for me to, like, have people hear it, you know.
Well, you're tremendously
talented.
That
was the short answer.
That was the short version. But you're tremendously talented. And, you know, I mean, you're an actor, too. And I'm sure being in a horror film helped to get you where you are today, too.
Well, yeah, I was in a student film when I was 16 years old. So 14 years ago, I was in a student film. I mean, literally, it's funny. I've been asked about this before. I'm like, it's no different than, like, you helping a friend with, like, a school project. Like, that's what it was. But it was fun, nonetheless.
Right. Sure, sure. Yeah. It's all a part of showbiz.
It all matters, right?
It all matters in the end. Yeah. Now, and, you know, the whole American Idol concept is difficult. I admire what you do because, you know, to be judged for, you know, singing.
Of course.
And in front of 30 million people every week.
I mean, no one wants that.
No.
I mean, and it's so funny because you're taught, you know, not to be that way, right? Mm-hmm. Don't be judgmental.
And the judges have to find something to criticize. They can't just say, hey, you were
right.
great.
But you sign up for it. And
right.
so you can't go on there and be like, oh, man. You know, it's like it's like you're standing up, you're literally standing on a judging platform for them to tear you apart.
Tear me up.
Right. So, I mean, that side of things was, it was almost good that I wasn't like, I was just thrown into it.
Right.
You know, I wasn't like, to be honest, I didn't watch American Idol ever. Hmm. I wasn't like, oh my God. So that kind of helped me in a way because I was just like, all right, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, shit. Sorry. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm up there and I'm getting judged by people and
right.
I'm like, I literally didn't know what to do.
Right.
I was like, I'm now looking at celebrities.
Right.
Who
are the judges? Simon?
Well, I don't live in Hollywood, right? I'm in
right.
Chicago. So like here I'm staring at like, Ellen DeGeneres and like Simon Cowell and Randy Jack.
Right.
And I'm in front of millions of people.
Right.
I'm like, what is happening right now?
Surreal, right?
It was seriously, yeah. And then I remember the first night I went home or to my hotel room, I was just kind of laying there like, I was just on TV. Like, it was so weird to me. And as the show progressed, I really started kind of. Mm-hmm. Get to a point where I was like, you know what, I gotta start being myself, because what happened to me is I'm a more rough and gruff singer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have more of that going on, and I was around a lot of people that had these very pretty technical voices and all this, and you start to question, like, am I singing okay, right? So there was this like weird moment in American Idol where I kind of started to, like, not on purpose, but like clean my vocal, like try to sing cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to a point where I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is not me. I'm used to, like, being in bars and,
right.
like, crowds slamming, you know, having a good time. And here I am now, like, worried about all this stuff. And I'm just like, I got to get back to what it is that I do. And I did. And I'm really glad I did. And it was a great experience and one I'll never forget and I'll always love. But, you know, again, from there to here, so many things have happened.
Sure.
From writing songs for television, movies, other artists, you know, in the UK, I remember when I first wrote my first song for another artist was Ronan Keating
mm-hmm.
in the UK and
Boyzone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he put that, you know, since then he hasn't put out a record. And
right,
since,
right.
And since everyone knows that you say it best, what you say, right? And so I wrote this song and I got this call and it was just like, Lee, we love it, man. You know, it's like, no way. And so, you know, I'm a fan. Like, I mean, he's a big artist over there.
Right,
so
right.
He hasn't put a record out in years. And so I wrote this song, called Lullaby
mm-hmm.
for him. It was actually a song I wrote for my wife. And so he's singing now. My wife's like, it's really pretty. I'm like, don't forget who wrote the song,
right?
But no, it was so cool to hear someone for the first time singing a song I wrote.
Right.
Like that. And I just loved it. I mean, and so since then I've been able to write for, you know, several different artists and TV shows and things. And I love all that stuff. That's a whole different side of me that's like a challenge, you know, and mm-hmm. someone's like, write for this. I'm like, all right, I love that side of music. But then there's that other side, which is like me in the studio with my guitar, just writing and making music. And that's what this record is.
We've got Lee DeWise in our studio. He's making music with him and his guitar. And so we're going to ask you if you wouldn't mind doing another song for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's
this song?
One?
It's called Learn to Fall. And it's just it's really a song about kind of just coming to terms with certain things. And
oh, you are gonna be the only one I'm gonna see for a long time. Maybe it's the wrong time. I'm sure you'll let me know. 'Cause you see See, I don't need a thing unless there's something that I'm missing. I'll be just fine. Maybe it's the right time. That's why I need to go. Just me, is it something I don't see that keeps me trying? There's no use in deciding, it's just the way it goes. And if there's something you could say to make all this go away, I swear I'd listen. But something more is missing. Don't think either of us know. That's why I need to go. So tell my mother not to worry. Tell my father none of this is his fault. I'll try to hear them when they call. If I don't forget by then. Cause you see every man creates till he makes the same mistake. Just me. It all means to an end. Maybe it's the wrong time. Oh, you are gonna be the only one I'm gonna see here for a long time. Maybe it's the right time. That's why I need to go. I just thought I'd let you know.
Great. Great, great, great. Love it. Lee DeWise in our studios live on Border Crossings, and the new album is Oil and Water. Yeah. So, you know, I got to ask, is there pressure? Do you feel pressure being, you know, I mean, here in the group of people, and this, Kelly Clarkson sold a certain number of records, and Carrie Underwood sold a certain, and Daughtry, and so on and so forth. Now, do you, in that group, is there pressure that comes with that too, or no?
No, but not really, because I think that a lot of it is just people being more educated about how the music industry works and how CD sales work and all those things. Because back when, like, and I'm just going to be honest, back when, like, Kelly Clarkson, right, all these, right, CDs were the thing, right? And here we are, and now it's all these other outlets of media and music. But the bigger point, though, is that I think because everyone, we're called American Idol winners, right? Or we're American Idols. I think that a majority of people group them together as if, like, oh, they're all supposed to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like this person has this career, so this person's supposed to have they right. But like it'd be like me saying, like, which, you know, it's just different. It's just different. Everyone's different. Everyone's a different style of music. What I do is not built around some of those things. And even more to the point, I mean, I guess you're talking about CD sales. I think in 2016, it's, you know, there's only a handful of artists, right, that are killing it on CD sales. Right. So for me, there isn't really a pressure. I'm not, you know, it's not 1996 now where, you know, you grab the paper to see how many records you sold, you know, it's more like I would rather, you know, when I see, you know, a song of mine is streamed 4 million times mm-hmm. or listened to, you know, 60,000 times over the course of a week. Yeah, it's not selling a CD, but the end result is what I want. People are hearing my music. And that's really where I'm at right now. I mean, I think at this day and age, there's so many different ways for people to hear music. Mm-hmm. I mean, writing a song for a TV show, writing a song for another artist, putting content out there. I mean, all those things are just as important as selling a CD.
Right.
And I think realistically, you know, when it comes to pressure, the only pressure I ever feel is the pressure I put on myself. You know, I have goals for myself I want to achieve. I have things I want to do. And I have, you know, different points in my career that I want to hit. Mm-hmm. And that's the pressures I feel. When I'm in the studio and I know I want to make, like, my best record ever, right? Like, that's the pressure I feel. And, you know, I think that what I do is important. Like, like I said, I think for some artists, that's the artist they are, and, like, mm-hmm. that's, we're good. We all get it, right? And, like, it doesn't matter. They can do anything. I think for someone like me, coming from American Idol, being a singer-songwriter, when I put out a record, it makes a big difference, and not just perception of who I am as an artist, mm-hmm. but just overall, it really matters. And so that's why I think the pressure I feel is more, if there is any, that I really want to represent myself properly through music. And I think the best way to do that is to not worry about it at all, oddly enough, and just write,
just do it.
And just do it. And right. I think that that's what's more important for someone like me. Everyone has their own career, you know,
everyone
has their own thing coming off of the show. And all those guys are great, man. I met all of them and they're all great people and they're great artists. I mean, even people that don't write their own music, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, whatever, like that's sure. your thing. Like, right. you know, it's open to interpretation, you know, mm-hmm. it's art in a way. Right. So everyone's got their thing, but my thing, you know, I hang my hat on songwriting. Mm-hmm. And American Idol is just one of the really, 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 if not the nicest hat on that hat rack. But songwriting is at the core of what I do.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm just excited to be out here doing it, which is why this new record for me is just like such a great experience, because I'm so proud to like have someone listen to it. Also, it's always scary having someone listen to your music.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
You're like, listen to what I've done for a year and a half. Right.
Right. Really? This is it.
Right. So there's always that. But realistically, I mean, I'm really proud of it. And, mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't change a thing about it.
All right. Well, in the last, you know, few minutes that we have, American Idol's going off the air.
Yeah. It's weird.
You sad to see it go?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for all we're talking about here, you know, American Idol was a huge part of my life.
Right.
I mean, my life changed completely mm-hmm. when I went on that show. I mean, completely. I mean, where I was living, what I was doing, everything changed. Mm-hmm. And so that was a huge part of my life. So to see it go, it's almost like, did that actually happen? Right? It's like kind of one of those moments. Like, so, yeah, I mean, I think the show itself has such success because it came out at a time where there was no one could compete. I mean, right. if you wanted to discover music, you were watching MTV, VH1,
right,
or
right.
getting your Rolling Stone magazine, right, or like listening to the radio. Mm-hmm. That was it. That's where you're finding music, nowhere else. Mm-hmm. And now here comes this show where like you're finding new artists and you get to vote for them. How amazing, right? And so how cool is that? So now I think that it was just like one of those things. It was just, I mean, people loved it. You know, they just loved it, and they got to be a part of the experience, right? So now this artist is going to go and do things, and, like, they helped that happen, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that was a huge part of why it was so successful, and I think that now, look at it now, right? How many shows are there? How many different places between YouTube and this and the X Factor, the Voice? I mean, you go on and on. America's Got Talent. You know?
Right, right, right.
There's just so many that I think that they led the way, and they were the trailblazers, and it's... And they'll always be the bar that was set. And I don't think it's going to be very difficult to hit that bar. You know, at its worst ratings ever, mm-hmm. they still trumped everybody, right? There's just such a big show. And so to be a part of it, yeah, it's sad to see it go. But, you know, I think they're leaving at the right time.
All right. Well, we've got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
For one more song.
You got it.
Oil and Water is the album. Lead to Wise is our guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming in.
I enjoyed this talk, actually.
No, me too. Come back again, please.
The song's called Stone.
Tide is high and the river's calm.
goes down in the morning comes down in the river where I threw my stone. Down in the river where I threw my stone. Hear my voice when I cry out loud. Running water is the only sound. Down in the river where I threw my stone. Down in the river where I threw my stone. Lay my body down. Regret for you've done no wrong. I'll be the light when the sun is gone. Down in the river where I threw my stone. Down in the river where I threw my stone.
Radio Tavisupleba FM 107.4.
Radio Tavisupleba FM 107.4.
Ovul ve 30 saatsa da 30 saat uzun tavuzup nakıvar saatiyen Azerbaycanlı programası.
Size her gün Tbilisi vaktiyle saat 20.30'dan 21'e kadar Azatlık Radyosu'nun verişlerini dinlemeye teklif ederiz.
Bizi 107.4 FM'de dinleyin.
Kvisminyet Kofelde FM 107.4 Radio Tavisupleba.